Welcome to the podcast service of the Massachusetts Climate Action Network. Visit us online at massclimateaction.net or friend us on Facebook.
Hi, and welcome to the Climate Minute, your source for insight and perspective on global warming news. My name is Ted McIntyre, and the show is for the week of February 15th, 2016. Mm-hmm. And today we're joined by our frequent guest, the prolific commentator, Mr. D.R. Tucker. How are you doing, D.R.?
Good. How are you doing?
Good. Well, D.R., if we ever need perspective and insight, it's this week. There's been a lot going on. I wanted to briefly start out and say that, of course, the Climate Minute is not a news program, so we don't even try to keep up with breaking events. But In the climate world, so much has happened in the last week that it's important, I think, for us to try and stay a little bit current. So let me just go back and rehearse some of the things that have happened over the last week. Last Tuesday. So this is now, we're recording this on Sunday the 14th. Last Tuesday, the day of the New Hampshire primary, the Supreme Court issued a stay, it's a legal order called a stay, that halted the implementation of the president's Clean Power Plan. That was Tuesday. Subsequently, you and I made a podcast that we put up on Friday explaining just how terrible that stay, that halting of the president's plan, just how horrible a thing that was, and how that it was driven by the five conservative justices of the Supreme Court. Now, just about that time, Stitcher, which is one of our main methods of communicating with people, the Stitcher website went down. So if you're listening to this on Stitcher, there is a preview show you can go back and find under the Climate Minute heading that talks about the Supreme Court. But anyway, while that was transpiring on Saturday afternoon, so we got Tuesday, we got Friday, we are now at Saturday afternoon, Justice Antonin Scalia passes. He dies. So, first of all, I would say we want to send our condolences to his family. By all accounts, he loved his children. He was beloved by his grandchildren. And as a human tragedy, it's there. But as a political issue, it explodes, right? The fact that the Supreme Court has lost one of its most reliably conservative voices just puts everything into a cocked hat, as they say. Right, DR?
Definitely. It's become a huge controversy now, with Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell basically saying that he will not go forward with the confirmation of any of President Obama's nominees. President Obama said he will put forward a nominee. There is sharp criticism for Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell, among others, Massachusetts Senator Elizabeth Warren, who basically says it's unprecedented to basically refuse to confirm a Supreme Court nominee just because this happens to be occurring in an election year. Obviously, it has been noted on a number of different occasions now that Justice Anthony Kennedy was confirmed during the election year of 1988. He was nominated to the court by President Reagan. So anybody who suggests that this is not a radical move on the part of Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell is wrong.
It
sets up a strong nomination fight. There's been tremendous speculation as to who exactly the person will be nominated. There's a lot of talk about a gentleman by the name of Siri Rinavasian, I may be mispronouncing his name, who's a judge on the U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals for the D.C. Circuit, that same circuit that's going to hear the case involving the Clean Power Plan,
which
was confirmed 97-0 by the Senate 3 years ago. People are also speculating about potentially former Massachusetts Governor Deval Patrick being nominated. I've seen that speculation as well.
It's very
interesting to see who will indeed be the nominee or nominees if one nominee is knocked down.
I think that it's, at some level it's a shame that there's a human tragedy going on, and before Antonin Scalia is cold, you know, we're already talking politics. But those are the stakes involved. I think from a climate perspective, there's a huge explosion of discussion about the next Supreme Court, the next member of the Supreme Court. But let's take it from a climate perspective. It's my understanding that what's going to happen now, that the court is basically evenly split, 4-4.
Yeah.
Okay, and and if the vote on that stay were to be taken today, it would not have occurred because it would have been a tie. It's fascinating. The stay of the Clean Power Plan was put in place, even though the D.C. Court of Appeals, which is the court just below the Supreme Court, has already scheduled to hear the argument about the Clean Power Plan on June 2nd of this year, June of 2016. So that the D.C. Court of Appeals is going to hear the case and will then issue a ruling, right, either supporting it or killing the actual plan. Nothing to do with stays and halting implementation. This will be a decision that the D.C. Court of Appeals will make on the legality of the Clean Power Plan. It's a fair guess to say that who can predict, but I mean, you would imagine that the D.C. Court of Appeals will approve the Clean Power Plan. They say it's so good to go, right?
Good to go, but according to Ian Millhiser of thinkprogress.org and also according to politico.com, even if the U.S. Court of Appeals for the D.C. Circuit upholds the Clean Power Plan, it will still be sidelined until the Supreme Court votes once again to whether or not to essentially to allow it to go through. If they vote to uphold the Clean Power Plan, the order sidelining the Clean Power Plan will stand unless there is a fifth justice who votes to reverse that decision.
Well, and so here's where it gets interesting. I mean, so if Senate Majority Leader wants to not have a nominee, right, and not appoint anyone to the Supreme Court, then by definition, all of the cases go to a 4-4. Well, this case would likely go to a 4-4 tie, in which case the ruling by the lower court approving the Clean Power Plan would stand, and everything would be good. On the other hand, if the next justice that's nominated and gets on to the U.S. Supreme Court and then hears this case, he or she will be the deciding vote. That which would then happen next June.
Yes.
Right? So that's June of 2017. Right? That's almost 18 months from now. So it's fascinating. All of a sudden, the stakes for who is going to get on the Supreme Court, who Obama might nominate, what the shape of the Senate will look like after the election in January of 2017, who the president will be in January 17, now all have enormous consequence, right?
Definitely. And this goes to a controversy that David Atkins of the Washington Monthly has brought up, which is that there are some senators in states that are up for re-election that may not have the luxury of going along with Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell in terms of saying we agree that there should not be a vote, that they may be under unrelenting political pressure to where they may have to go to McConnell and say we need a vote, we have to have a vote. Right. There's too much outrage in the public over the fact that you have, you know, eight ninths of the U.S. Supreme Court working and you don't have that vacancy filled. So it remains unclear at this point how resolute Mitch McConnell will be in terms of trying to block a vote on the ninth nominee. Now, obviously, one can speculate that because Mitch McConnell represents a coal state, that is, you know, will be that there and the obvious coal implications of the Clean Power Plan for his state, he may try to stick to his guns. But how long can he stick to his guns in the face of what could be unrelenting public pressure to allow a vote? That's the unanswerable question at this point.
And I think that it's you're right. I mean, Obama has said that he will execute his duty as president and nominate someone for the Supreme Court. And all in any normal world, you would want that spot to be filled reasonably quickly. And there are various names being batted around. But, I mean, Obama now has the chance to profoundly influence the nature of the court for the next 30 years, right? Scalia was on there for 30 years.
Yes.
And it's it has great impact for climate hawks, and I guess it emphasizes why it's so important that that people who care about the climate issue vote knowledgeably, right? Mm-hmm. And vote across the spectrum and know that when they vote for senator and when they vote for president, that these things have real impacts, right?
And we should also once again, and as you note, you know, it does go to the importance of the Supreme Court in terms of elections, in terms of who to vote for. Scalia was put on the bench by President Ronald Reagan in 1986, as we note. These what we're about to state is, you know, not trying to speak ill of the dead or anything, but but we do have to acknowledge certain things. If you read Scalia's dissent in Massachusetts versus EPA, Scalia was, yes, a climate change denier.
Uh-huh.
It has also been noted that by another's Cenk Uygur of the Young Turks, he also denied, among other things, evolution. Right. So we recognize the importance of why it is problematic, to be politically correct, to have judges who don't believe in science on the courts that can have catastrophic implications for human life, basically.
I think that's a good – they keep saying litmus tests. You don't want a litmus test for anybody on the Supreme Court. But I think a good litmus test and a simple one is, do you believe in science? And if you believe in science, okay, you can be on the Supreme Court. So, DR, we can leave it there. This is a fascinating unfolding topic. But our expectation right now is that come June 2nd, the President's Clean Power Plan will be – the case will be heard by the D.C. Court of Appeals. Mm-hmm. It's our fervent hope that the D.C. Court of Appeals, which has all been appointed by Obama, will support the Clean Power Plan, and then it will be quickly brought up to the U.S. Supreme Court for another hearing, which would then resolve itself in June of 2017. Mm-hmm. And that is all. Right now, it's a tie. It all depends on who that ninth justice is, huh?
Exactly.
Wow, DR, it is a fascinating time to be alive, as they say.
May you live an interesting time.
May you live. Thank you so much for taking the time to chat, DR. I hope that we. I hope that the pace of events slows down so that we don't have to try to catch up in our podcast. Thank you very, very much for being here today, DR. I really appreciate it.
Sure, no problem.
And we'll tell all of our friends a couple things. One is that the Massachusetts Climate Action Network conference is coming up on the 13th of March. You should sign up. We'll put a link on the blog. You can also get us on, usually find us on Stitcher or TuneIn Radio. You can find us on the Facebook page at /MassClimateAction. So let me say, DR, we'll close the way we always close, by saying that because we recognize the necessity of personal accountability for our actions, because we accept responsibility for building a durable future, because we believe it's our patriotic duty as citizens to speak out, we must insist that the United States put a price on carbon. Again, DR, thank you for taking the time to chat.
Thanks.
And we'll talk to you all again soon. Bye-bye.
Thanks for being with us. And until next time, be green.
Very cool.